All right, it's 9:40. We'll put a halt to our discussion and we'll continue with it some other time. We've got Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program for the basic fiqh. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, according to our discussion on the 14th of January, we were speaking about the rights of parents after they pass away, and we spoke about the fact that we should make general dua for them, seek forgiveness for them, and also execute their wasiyah. And we spoke about the fact that we should maintain relationship with the people that they had maintained relationship with. And we left off with the example of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, Maulana, jazakumullah for recapping on all that there. That was the discussion that we had completed regarding Sayyidah Khadija, regarding, you know, taking care of one's parents' rights after their demise, and also keeping good relations with their families and friends after their demise as one of the important rights of parents. So we completed that discussion, and today, inshallah, we will discuss relating to Sajda-e-Tilawa, the laws of Islam relating to the Sajda-e-Tilawa, the laws of fiqh, the Islamic ahkam, the rules and regulations relating to Sajda-e-Tilawa. We will discuss some aspects of that, inshaAllah. So as we know that there are certain verses in the Holy Quran that when we read those verses, the sajda becomes compulsory upon the reader and the listeners of those particular verses. And the reason why the sajda becomes compulsory is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those servants of His who prostrate before Him, or Allah orders that one should prostrate to Him. The order or the instruction of sajda is given in these 14, there are in total 14 verses in these verses. So a person in fulfillment and compliance with the order that is given in these verses is required to do a sajda-e-tilawa. And there are in total 14 sajda-e-tilawa in the Holy Quran. This is both according to the Hanafis and the Shafis. However, there is a slight difference of opinion about which 14 the Shafi'is, they take the last, let's say the second sajda of Surah Al-Hajj also is a sajda tilawat, whereas the Hanafis do not regard the second sajda of Surah Al-Hajj to be a sajda tilawat. That's the minor difference there is. Otherwise, all are of the opinion that these sajda tilawas are established and they are compulsory. And there are 14 in the Holy Quran. And we could say that there are about 4 in the first half of the Quran, and then 10 in the second half of the Holy Quran. So it becomes compulsory upon a person to perform the sajda-e-tilawa upon reciting any of these verses, or even listening to any one of these verses. And we normally find that in order to make it easy for those who are not aware of these sajdas, the copies of the Quran have the word sajda printed in the margins. The word sajda is found in the margins of the printed Quran, so it makes it easy for a person to recognize that these are the verses of sajda. And this is where we are required to make the sajda-e-tilawa. Now, regarding the methodology of the sajda-e-tilawa, how does one go about making sajda-e-tilawa? So the method is very, very simple and basic. First of all, one has to be in the state of wudu. You cannot do the sajda-e-tilawa without the wudu, and all that is required is one sajda. That is all that is required, and between two takbirs, in the beginning we say Allahu Akbar, and at the end also we say Allahu Akbar. And in the sajda we recite the tasbih of the sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, thrice. This is the method of the completion of the sajda tilawat. So we go, when we're going down into the sajda, we say Allahu Akbar, and then we read the tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, thrice. And when we awaken from the sajda, we arise from the sajda, then we say Allahu Akbar. So that is about the only requirement for the validity of the sajda tilawat, that it's between two tasbihs, and it's the three tasbihs that we do. So that is basically the method of sajda tilawat. The question arises is, should we do the sajda while we are standing upright and then go down and come back upright? Is this required? So what is the ruling regarding this is that is preferable. If you can go into the sajda from a standing posture and do the sajda and arise back into a standing posture, then that is preferable. But it is also permissible to do the sajda from a sitting posture. In other words, you can go into sajda whilst you are sitting, and you can do the sajda and come back into a sitting posture. That is also permissible. There is no prohibition or anything that is reprehensible or makruh, as they would say, regarding doing the sajda from a sitting posture. And one may also do a number of sajdas in this manner. If there are some sajdas that are outstanding that have to be completed, one may do these sajdas from this posture in this manner. Even from the sitting posture, it is in order. So as we said earlier on, the sajda becomes compulsory upon every person who reads it and every person who listens to it, whether the person knows that a sajda tilawa ayah was read or not. It still becomes compulsory upon that person, whether that person was not even listening attentively or not. That still makes it compulsory. Whether a person was listening intentionally or just unintentionally, it still makes it compulsory upon that person. So therefore, the person who's reading these verses, if there are people around him who are not paying attention or who are not mindful of this, it is best for this person to read the sajda ayat silently so as not to make something obligatory upon them which they would not know about or which they would not have knowledge about, and thereby they would become sinful if they did not carry out this obligation and they did not fulfill the sajda tilawat. So it's preferred to read it silently in such an instance. But of course, if the people around are fully aware and they are listening attentively and they realize that yes, there will be a sajda tilawat and we are to make the sajda after this, then there is no problem. A person may recite it loudly. Regarding the sajda tilawat of Suratul Hajj, which is the first sajda that is compulsory according to the Hanafis, the second sajda is not compulsory according to the Hanafis. According to the Shafis, it is compulsory. So this particular sajda, although it's not compulsory upon the Hanafis, but outside of Salawat, the ulama say that in order to respect the views of the other imam and the other scholars, it will be allowed, it will be permissible for a person to, as a precaution, make the sajda. So it is allowed, it will be in order, in fact, it will be meritorious to make the sajda outside of salah. But in salah, we should not make the sajda because it would be an additional sajda in salah which is not in keeping with the rules and regulations of salah. So in salah, we don't make the sajda tilawah. But in outside of Salah, we should make the Sajdah Tilawa. It is rewarding to make the Sajdah Tilawa, although it is not compulsory, but it will be rewarding to make the Sajdah Tilawa because it is the view of a great Imam of the Ummah, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Some ulama have mentioned that in Salah, if you do read the Sajdah of Surah Al-Hajj, the second Sajdah ayat, the Tilawat ayat, then in your Salah, you could go into ruku at that point. And you could make the intention of the Sajdah Tilawat in the ruku, and that will be, in fact, the best method of keeping the varying opinions and the various opinions in place and respecting the various opinions. So one could recommend the practice, not obligatory, go into ruku at that point where the Sajdah Tilawat comes, the second Sajdah Tilawat in Surah Al-Hajj. So that is as far as that particular Sajdah Tilawat is concerned. So these are some of the basic rules and regulations relating to Sajdah Tilawat.
Now, Mufti Sahib, what if a Sajdah Ayah is repeated in one gathering, or if a Hafiz is trying to memorize that particular portion of the Quran and he's reciting it several times in the same gathering, or he's walking up and down as he's trying to memorize? What is the rule in the Mufti Sahib?
Right. This is a very important thing about the majlis, meaning the place of reciting this particular ayat, is known as the majlis of the sajda. And this particular majlis, if it is one, in other words, a person is in one area and he's reading this ayat repeatedly, then one sajda becomes compulsory only. Like the example of the Hafiz who's memorizing and he reads this ayah over and over and over and over again, but he's seated in one place or he's in one particular area, for example in one room, and he's reading this ayah over and over there, that will be regarded as one majlis. So he's only required to make one Sajdah Tilawat. But that is per ayat. In other words, if he had to read another ayat, then another sajda is required for another ayat. He can't make the one sajda for two ayats. It has to be one sajda per ayat. Or a person, for example, is serving in a shop and he's standing behind the counter and he's making tilawat at the same time and he reads the ayat of sajda a few times. So that place where he's standing, that area, that position that he's in for that point in time is regarded as one majlis. So even if he reads that ayat several times, only one sajda becomes compulsory upon such a person.
And then, so what about the radio? You know, sometimes you play juz a day and then you come across a sajda ayah. Is it compulsory for the listeners to make sajda at that time?
Yes, regarding the tilawat of the Quran that we hear from a radio or a CD or from these iPods and so on, cassettes. Who uses cassettes these days? Nobody reads. I don't think people even know what we're talking about now, Maulana.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the tilawat from such kind of mediums, then the tilawat, the sajda, will not be compulsory upon the listeners, because it's not from a live human being that they're listening to the verse. The one requirement, it must be from a living person that you have to listen to that verse being recited. But if it is a live recitation that has been broadcasted on a radio, then it will become compulsory to do the Sajdah Tilawat. So I think there's a distinction between a recording and a live recitation. If it's a recording, then there's no Sajdah required. But if it is a live recording, it's a live transmission, then Sajdah becomes compulsory. So if you're having a Qiraat Jalsa somewhere on Qiraat program or Taraweeh is being played and the verses are recited and it's been broadcasted on the air, then it will become compulsory for listeners to make the Sajdah Tilawah. And if it is just a recording that has been played, like how you have Juz Day and so on, those are just recordings, then in that instance it will not be compulsory.
Now, Mufti Saab, what if the wife is listening to her darling husband recite the Quran and he comes upon a sajda ayah and she might be in a state of haidh? What happens then, Mufti Saab?
No, in that instance, there's no sajda applicable to her.
Okay.
There's no sajda applicable to her because she's not now in a state of salah. So, neither salah and sajda, which is just one posture of the salah, will not become compulsory upon her, because the whole salah is not compulsory, so one posture of the salah also will not become compulsory upon her.
So there's also another practice, you know, sometimes maybe you lead in the salah and the person is reciting, for instance, Suratul Alaq. It is the whole surah and then that last sajda ayah he skips and he goes into ruku. Is this advisable, Mufti Saab?
No. It is not advisable at all to do such a thing. One should not skip a sajda ayah just to avoid the sajda. It is makruh to do that. It is disrespectful to those ayah, those verses of the Quran, to omit them just because one wants to avoid doing the sajda. What is there? It's such a wonderful thing to be able to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that particular ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that do the sajda and draw close to Allah.
Subhanallah.
So you're actually drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should you be wanting to avoid drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is something that one should not do at any time. Read it, go complete it, and do the sajda and take the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and draw close to Him.
Now, Mufti Saab, what if somebody after listening to our program today realizes they haven't made so many sajdas in the past? What does one do in a case like that, Mufti Saab?
Maulana, then you have to remember that if you've read the ayat or you've listened to the ayat, the sajda becomes wajib, it's compulsory. And if you did not do it, then it becomes qaza. Like salah becomes qaza, sajda tilawat also becomes qaza. You should try and complete as many sajda tilawat as possible that are outstanding. In fact, all of them. And if you are unable to, you should make wasiyah for every sajda tilawat that you had missed out. And in lieu of each sajda tilawat, the amount of sadaqatul fitr is to be given, like it is given in lieu of any missed salah. Like that, for every missed sajda tilawat, you have to give the amount of sadaqatul fitr.
Subhanallah.
So it is so important to do the sajda tilawah once it becomes compulsory. It is mustahab and preferable to do it immediately.
Yes.
But if a person was unable to do it immediately because of certain circumstances, you can do it later, but one should try and complete it as quickly as possible so as not to accumulate so many sajdas that a person is then unable to complete it, and then it remains in his obligation, for which he will be held accountable, and for which there will have to be either a qaza done, or then the fidya of that will have to be offered in the form of the fidya, in the equivalent of sadaqatul fitr, for the missed sajda tilawat.
Mufti Saab, jazakallah khairan for the insightful program, much appreciated.
Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, we'll continue with this discussion going forward, Maulana.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.